Today, we start with the Bala Kanda of Ramayana. Like yesterday we explained, there are totally seven skandas or kandas, kantos, seven kandas. So starts with Bala Kanda, then Ayodhya Kanda, then Aranya Kanda, Kishkinda Kanda, Sundara Kanda, Yuddha Kanda, and Uttara Kanda. Seven. Ramayana is divided in seven parts. So, like we know, Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, there are four of them. And they are four different expansions from the source of Narayana, actually. Sankarsana, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva. They came as Ram, Lakshman, Bharata and Shatrughna. Before they were taking birth, Dasharatha Maharaja had a baby girl. You know about her? Rama had got a sister also. Ramachandra Murthy's sister is called Shanta. She was the first girl. Dasharatha Maharaja got married and 60,000 years are over and no issues, only one baby girl. So when we say this, people get amazed how people lived for, you know, 1 lakh years, 60,000. Everybody here also getting married and struggling to pass one day, counting in the calendars. So Dasharatha Maharaja lived 60,000 years with the three beautiful wives, Kausalya, Sumitra and Kaikeyi. Still no baby boy, only girl. And you see, Dasharatha Maharaja was such a close friend to Janaka, and Janaka Maharaj had another friend. Okay? He is Romapad Maharaja. And Dasharatha Maharaja gave the first baby girl. When they came, Janak Maharaja and Rompad Maharaj, both of them came and they saw this beautiful baby girl, right? And it's so amazing that Rompad Maharaj actually is not Dasharatha Maharaja's friend. Rompad Maharaj is friend of Janak Maharaj and Janak Maharaj is friend of Dasharatha Maharaj. That means Dasharatha Maharaj and Romapad Maharaj doesn't have direct connection. He came with Janaka Maharaj to see the baby girl. And baby girl is so charming, Romapad Maharaj told Dasharatha Maharaj, please give this girl to me. I will take care of her and I will bring her up as my own daughter. Dasharatha Maharaj smilingly gave off. You see how these people were in those days. So from that day onwards, Shanta was known as Rompad Maharaj's daughter, but actually she was Dasharatha Maharaja's daughter. So she was very intelligent, very beautiful and highly qualified, Shanta, and she grew up in Rompad Maharaj's kingdom. And one day Rompad Maharaj did a grievous mistake, unknowingly killing a Brahmana. So there in Ramayana it explains, a leader should be highly responsible. If the leader, whether he manages a company or factory or industry or family or institution or school teacher, whatever, if the person is leading a few people and if he commits mistake, the entire followers have to suffer. Because Rompad Maharaj unknowingly killed a Brahmana, there was famine for 20 continuous years in Rompad Maharaj's kingdom. Not a single drop of water. The cattle are not giving any more milk, cows not giving milk. There is no rain. All the rivers and ponds completely dried off. And wild animals are not getting anything to eat. So all the tigers and lions and all, they started coming inside the city And in the night when people are not very alert, they come and take away the babies and calves and this thing and run away. And dacoits increased, everything just because Rompath Maharaj killed a Brahmana. And it became intolerable to stay anymore in Rompath Maharaj's kingdom. So he immediately called all the Brahmanas, everybody, and he wanted to get a solution, how there will be rain in my kingdom. Then they all said that you should bring a man who had never been lusty throughout his life, never thought about anything like sex or anything in his own life, full life. You should bring that kind of a person, and he should do that, what is that yajna called for to bring rain? Not Ashwamedha. Ashwamedha is like you declare as an emperor.
Atiratra.
Huh? Atiratra. Oh, there was Prime Minister, no? Last Prime Minister of India? Vajpayee. It's called Vajpayee Yajna. If you do that perfectly, pardon? So if you do that Vajpayee Yaga perfectly, you can bring rain. So they wanted this particular person who had never been lusty in full life, and they want to bring him. And Janaka Maharaj and Rompath Maharaj asked the Brahmanas, is there anybody like that on the earth? Is there one person like this? They said, there is only one man. If anybody has taken birth on earth, automatically at a particular age, they will start thinking about all these things. So you should bring such a person who had never seen or is completely not aware of anything like this outside world. Only those kind of people can be like this. So then they worked out, and finally they located a man, a brahmachari, with a deer head, human body, and a deerka head he has got. And that is Rishyashringa. Right. So, Keralites may know very well because there was a famous movie, so people may know. Okay, he was a brahmachari with a deer head, and his father was so particular that he said, if there is woman in this world, all the material necessities will expand. Stree mane, a person who keeps on expanding, is stree. Purusha means a man who just focus on one particular thing. Purusha means he can just simply focus. Stree means a person who keeps expanding. She is one, then gets married, become two, then get baby three, then they need a house, then they need another. There was one Maharaj in ISKCON called Devamrita Swami. And that Maharaj was giving a lecture like how Matajis go to big textile shop and purchase clothes like Indian saris, pull out all the shelves, almost the shelf is empty, and the Matajis are having so much of clothes stacked in their arms, you know, like that. Finally, after some, you know, real like hard work, maybe after a few hours they decided on something. By the time husband is somewhere in the car park or something, he's like, enough. After doing the whole thing, they're about to go and pay the bill. By the time they're looking at the neighbor who's having the whole collection and trying to pick one from that. Right? So Maharaj was explaining how the intelligence and mind is like. So stree means a person who keeps on expanding, and purusha means a man who can focus. So somehow Rishyashringa's father was completely dead against Mataji's, and he made sure that his son never comes across any female in this world. He was so particular that in his ashram, whatever pet animals he had, all were male. Even like bull, deer, everything only male. There is no, you know, he was so particular that Rishyashringa's father was so adamant on that. So Rishi Shringa grew up as a pakka, real strict brahmachari and never experienced anything in his life like female part or opposite sex. He's never experienced, never seen, never heard about them, never heard their voice. So then Rompad Maharaj and the ministers decided, then it is very easy to trap him. Right? It's very, very easy. Send the beautiful dancers from our kingdom. So they constructed a luxurious boat with all amenities and facilities and they sent them to the forest. And Rishi Shringa is such a perfect man. Morning he gets up, he does all the sacrifices, puja, dhyana, everything. And whoever is coming to the forest, mostly only rishis and sadhus and saints used to come, he used to serve them, you know. Used to become their menial servant, wash their clothes, cook for them, massage them, he used to do everything. And all these girls came and landed and they were all wearing saffron. Because that's how they thought he can trap. So all these dancers are wearing sadhu's dress, saffron dress. And they came and landed down. And he saw, oh, new saints have come to my place. He had never seen this kind of signs, you know, in his lifetime. So he ran to them and asked, can I do some seva? I can wash your clothes, I can cook for you, you please wait. And this, he's falling at their feet, he's touching at their feet, and he's taking association and everything. Then Rishi Shringa noticed he is getting some strange feeling. He is not feeling like keeping away from them. He had seen so many kinds of sadhus. People who eat daily, people who don't eat, who are shaved up, with matted hair, deer skin, tree bark. He had seen different kind of saints, but these people are something different. He is not feeling like keeping away, want to serve more, more, he want to be with them. And slowly after a week's time, within a week's time, he forgot to perform his morning sacrifice. Look at the association. Within a week, which he had been practicing for last 20 years, just got diluted in 1 week's time. He forgot to do and his father was so angry. I forgot his father's name, nice name.
Vibhandaka
Maharshi. So, Vibhandaka Maharshi was so angry, he came and saw that his son has not performed this thing. So usually when Rishi Shringa forgets something and when his father is scolding, immediately he will say, my dear father, I forgot, or by mistake this has happened, I will rectify. And Rishi Shringa, on the first time, he spoke a lie in his life. He spoke a lie. He said, Dad, I did this, maybe you didn't notice properly, you didn't check it out properly. So he diluted his sadhana, then he spoke a lie, you know, few things happened. Then father immediately recognized, my son is associating with some matajis. Immediately, so expert in the field, he just made out, okay, my son is getting some association. He said, don't leave the ashram from tomorrow. Stay here only. Stay, don't move away from the ashram. You should always remain in the ashram. But the second day, when his father went out, he also jumped. That's all. He never came back to Lashley. He ran away with the dancers to Rompad Maharaj's kingdom. So, in Rompad Maharaj's kingdom, they all know, they were very sure Rishi Shringa is going to come. They kept everything ready, all the paraphernalia, everything for the puja. Rishi Shringa just came inside. He just placed his foot on the king country, immediately dark clouds appeared. So, Ramayana explains the glory of a celibacy. What is mean by brahmacharya? If somebody can perform this, it is explained in the scripture, there are four kinds of celibacy. One is Kutichaka, and the second is Bahudaka, then the third is Parivrajakacharya, and the fourth is Paramhamsa. There are four levels. Kutichaka, Bahudaka, Parivrajakacharya, and Paramhamsa. So a person who decides for to be a celibate for one season, like sometimes people make a vow, I will be a celibate, I will be brahmachari for next 60 days, next 45 days, next 70 days, next 90 days, till I do this, till I do that. So that's the first level of brahmacharya, which is called kutichaka, for a short period. Bahudaka is like, I will be brahmachari till I achieve this. They set up a goal. Then third is parivrajakacharya, a person is celibate, but still he is not contaminated by mixing with other people. He keeps moving around, he's a traveler. And Paramhamsa is the final stage. You put him in any dirt, he will remain. He won't fall. So there are four levels. So, brahmacharya is so glorious, they almost reached Brahman. If a person remains brahmachari for continuous 12 years, a strict brahmacharya, he has almost reached Brahman. Then he has to understand the different aspects of God. He's very close to God. That's why in all religious scriptures, brahmacharya is glorified. Even in Bible it is glorified, even in Hindu scriptures, all scriptures glorify celibacy. So, especially our Vedic scriptures glorify brahmacharya to a very great extent. Anyway, that is, these topics are little irrelevant here, but still, Rama in Rishi Shringa's life, they glorify brahmacharya so much. Because he just placed his foot in that country, immediately there was rain. And Rompath Maharaj was so happy about Rishi Shringa, gave away half of his kingdom and gave his daughter also in marriage. So Shanta married Rishi Shringa. Rishi Shringa was having a human body and a deer's head. Then, further, Ramayana explains, that is the only one vow a son can disobey his father. Where, like, a son should never disobey his parents at any cost. That is why when Parashurama's father, Jamadagni Maharshi, told Parashuram, chop off your mother and chop off your five brothers. He didn't speak one single word. He took his parashu, went straight as though he's cutting a vegetable, he cut off five heads. That means, a son should simply follow the father's word. That's why when Dashrata Maharaja told Ramchandra Murthy to go to forest, he didn't argue. He just went away. So Ramayana says a son should never, whatever mistake the father asks him to do, still he should not disobey. Only one point son can disobey. And that is, if the son wants to be a brahmachari or sannyasi, and father is telling, parents are telling, no, no, go and get married, son can disobey. That, I know a lot of devotees are not agreeing, but what to do? That's the scriptures say, the son can disobey. That's the only thing the son can disobey at any cost. Okay, there is no smile in devotees.
Only one smile.
Prabhu?
We already finished.
Pardon? So that's something like that. That's why Shankaracharya wanted to take sannyas. And he was just a 7-year-old boy. He was telling his mother, I wanted to take sannyas, I wanted to take sannyas. And the mother is keep on discouraging. And they went to a river called Periyar in Kaladi. It's a beautiful river. So the son said, I will take bath, my mother, and please wait over here. Then Shankaracharya went to take bath and immediately a huge crocodile alligator came and caught him on his feet. And he's screaming, mother, screaming, and mother is completely panicked. Oh, my son is, you know, struggling, and the crocodile, she's screaming and calling and friends and things like that. Then Shankaracharya is telling in between that, oh, my dear mother, please give me permission. I want to take sannyas. Anyway, I'm going to die. The crocodile is going to eat me. At least thinking that I got a permission for sannyas, let me die. Please permit. And mother was not able to think anything because son was his leg, his foot is inside crocodile's mouth. So immediately mother said, okay, sannyas or whatever you want to do as per your wish. And immediately crocodile left him. So he got permission for sannyas. And in the same way, Madhvacharya, he was 5-year-old boy in Pachaka Kshetra near Udupi in Karnataka. And his father was a great devotee, in fact. Father is a pujari in Anantanarayan temple. If you have been to Udupi temple, opposite to Udupi temple, there is another one small temple. Ananteshwar temple. And Madhvacharya's father is a main pujari in the temple and a very ardent, sincere devotee. Every day from Pajaka Kshetra, nearly 20 kilometers, he will come by walk, does all the puja there, and he will go back in the night. Every day for years and years he's doing, such a great devotee. And Madhvacharya, 5-year-old boy, went and told his father that I want to take sannyas. Hearing that, father was completely shocked. Are, why do you want to take sannyas? We are already leading a very pious life. You can learn scripture, you can live whatever way you want. And you know, I am 85-year-old man and my wife is like 70-75-year-old. What can we do if you leave us in this ripened age and we have got only one son? How can I leave you? Please don't go. Then Madhvacharya, smiling, last, if you get another baby boy, will you leave me? You know, they are like 85 and 90 or whatever. And parents smilingly said, yeah, no problem. And surprisingly, the next month she conceived. Madhvacharya's mother got another baby boy. So 5-year-old boy, he left the house. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also got married. And Vishnu Priya Mataji is like highly attached to Lord Chaitanya, and Sachi Mata is also highly attached to such a wonderful son. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu already started thinking about taking sannyas. He wanted to take sannyas. But whenever he speaks about that, mother gets completely disturbed. She started crying. Then one day night, Lord Chaitanya was lying on the bed, and Vishupriya Mataji is massaging Lord Chaitanya's feet, and all the garlands are scattered, and she slept off like that on Lord Chaitanya's feet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started speaking to a parrot, and he was telling his mind that he wanted to take sannyas, he wanted to preach the holy name and things like that. And the parrot simply said, kiki kiki. And Lord Chaitanya, okay, my mother has given permission in the form of parrot, and he left the house. So this is one particular thing where a son can disobey the father. I know I won't get any vote here, but still, that's the truth. So in the same way, if you go to Kanchipuram, that's a very famous temple, and there was one pujari of the main temple. He spent all his time in building the Rajgopuram of the temple. Like if you go to Tamil Nadu, South India, you can see that Rajgopuram will be very huge and the Gopura on the deities will be small. But if you go to North India, you can see the Gopuras on the deities will be tall and the entrance Gopuram will be small. In South India, it is reversed. The entrance Gopurams will be very huge. Especially if you go to Sri Rangam, Ranganath Swami temple, it's the tallest Gopura. And you go to Madurai Meenakshi temple, huge Gopuras. So there was one beautiful Vishnu temple in Kanchipuram, and that pujari wanted to build a beautiful Raj Gopuram for the temple. So he spent all his time, energy, everything in building the Gopura. Every day he used to go meet the people, explain to them, it's a great seva, please do this, please do that. And he was collecting funds and he was building the Gopuram. And by the time he finished his Gopuram, he became 90-year-old. And people used to ask, why you didn't get married? You don't have children, you are a Brahmana. Suppose you pass away, who will do the final rites for you? Because a Grahastha is supposed to have children. That's why they are called Putra. Putra means a boy who can deliver their parents from a naraka called Punnada. That's why they call him Putra. So even though in those days, if they have just baby girls and they don't have boys, still they will pray for a boy. Only boys can do that. If they don't have a boy, then their grandson can do that. Something like that. So everybody is asking this Brahmana, why you didn't get married? And he was telling, I was busy constructing the Gopuram, I forgot to get married. He was so much dedicated in the service, he forgot to get married. And finally he finished constructing the Gopuram, then he was praying to the Lord, oh my Lord, I didn't get married. I don't have a son to do the final rites. If I die, who will take care of me? Then the Lord promised, don't worry. Those who don't have anybody, I am there as their son. Then even today, on the particular day, they take Perumal, Bhagavan Vishnu Narayan on a palanquin. Lord will go to the Kaveri bank and do the final rites for him. Even today the custom is going on. On a big festival, they will carry the Lord and the palanquin, all music, everything. And he will go to the beach, the river bank, and do the rites for the Brahmana and come back. It's going on for the last 600, 700 years. So this is one particular thing. Even the same thing happened with the Kumaras. Kumaras were completely full of knowledge. They came from the four heads of Brahma. And Brahma told them, okay, I have created you people, now you continue the creation. And the Kumaras were personified Vedas, and they know everything. If we start creating, we will get trapped in the material world. They said, we are going to meditate on Brahman, no more this program. So Brahma got very angry and his eyebrows got twisted, his face turned red, and immediately forehead opened, and there is some kind of thing, bluish, reddish color, screamingly came out. And that was first Rudra. And Brahmaji told, my sons, the Kumaras didn't listen to me. My dear Rudra, you please create. Then Rudra said, yes, my lord, I will immediately create. And he started creating ghosts, goblins, bhuta, preta, pishachas, everything. Brahma said, okay, thank you very much. Please stop. No more creating. So like that, this Brahmacharya and Sannyasa is like very much glorified. The same thing happened if you see Madhvacharya's grand disciple line. You must have heard about Raghavendra Swami. He was also told by his guru to take sannyas. Then he had a very young wife and a young child. And he just went and took sannyas. Then his wife was completely heartbroken. She didn't know what to do. She went and jumped inside the well. And Raghavendra was such a powerful saint, he called the Vaikunthavasis, came and picked her up from the well and went back. Same way, Prabhupada also took sannyas. He left his wife. And very interesting story is Prabhupada's famous disciple, Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj went and told Prabhupada that I like such and such Mataji and all this thing. Prabhupada said, very nice, get married. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj got married, and after 9 months, Prabhupada asked, how are you? How is your family? Then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, my wife is such a nice devotee, she is doing so much seva, she is helping me very nicely. I am feeling I am spiritually progressed, things are very nice, everything is progressing. Prabhupada said, very nice, very good, take sannyas. Like that. So, it is little, everybody knows intellectually or this is right, but still the mind will never agree for that. Anyway, so the Balakanda starts with the glories of Brahmacharya and Sannyasa. I'm very sorry to discourage. Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pavana Sita
Rupati Raja Sita Ram.
60,000 years, Dasara Maharaj was like completely in anxiety. He was tensed. He was feeling that day and night that he is not having any successor to rule his huge kingdom, and the country is flourishing so nicely. So day by day, the thought is increasing and increasing, and Dasaratha Maharaj was completely disturbed. And finally, he consulted Vasishta. And Vasishta said, let us bring Rishyasringa and we will perform a yajna. Because if he touches anything, because he has got the credit of being a celibate for 20 years, whatever he speaks will turn true, whatever he touches will turn auspicious. It seems Rishyasringa's body started smelling like a kasturi deer because of that high celibacy and vow and tapasya. Say, they brought Rishyasringa, and under the supervision of Vasishta Maharaj, they conducted a huge yajna, and from the fire, a beautiful angelical man personality with broad shoulders and dark color, he came with a golden pot full of nectar, some kind of sacrificial prasada. So he gave the prasada. He divided. Dasaratha Maharaja, taking permission from Vasishta and other great saints, he took the prasada from that personality. He divided into two portions and gave one portion to the first wife and another portion to the last wife. Right? He divided into two. And both the queens, they further divided it into two and gave one to the middle queen. So Kaushalya got one portion, Kaikeyi got one portion, Sumitra got two portions, right? So finally, Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, Shatrughna took birth. So, who's the second one? Bharata or Lakshmana? Bharata or Lakshmana? Sure? Shatrughna is Lakshmana's brother or Bharata's brother?
No,
Bharata.
Bharata's brother. So Kaushalya got Rama, and Sumitra got Lakshmana and Shatrughna. Kaikeyi got Bharata, and Rama is first, Bharata is second, Lakshmana is third, Shatrughna is fourth. Okay. So Lakshmana and Shatrughna are actually twins. They are not like just few seconds. And all these people have only few hours in difference. Rama took birth and after 1 or 2 hours, Bharata took birth and it's like nothing much. So these four boys were so handsome, intelligent, and every day they're growing up in Kosala region of Ayodhya. And the whole Ayodhya Vasis are simply talking about Dasharatha's children. Every day it became a song. The citizens started praising all the boys in the morning, praising them in the night, praising them mid-noon. 24 hours they are praising these children. The ladies even forget to take care of their own children, but they are glorifying these boys all the time. Can we continue?
Yes.
So, all the citizens of Ayodhya are simply talking about these boys. And it is explained by Valmiki, not even blind people in Ayodhya are not getting attracted to the boys. Even blind people of Ayodhya are getting attracted to these boys. Everybody is talking. The cows and the calves and the horses and the elephants all come and hang around in front of Dasharatha Maharaja's place. They all wanted to see the boys in the morning. The ladies wanted to see, the cowherd men wanted to see, the farmers wanted to see, even the brahmanas wanted to take darshan of the boys and go and perform their yajna. So the four boys became the talk of the town. Everybody is glorifying. Sometimes the ladies forget to tend their own children, but they were talking about these boys. And Rama is so caring to his younger brothers. Sometimes Lakshmana and Bharata will fall down and they will roll on the dust. Ramchandramurti will run to them and dust them, pat them, clean them. And Kaushalya and all the queens used to watch that and laugh, laugh and laugh. And Dasharatha Maharaja was so happy because in the night he will put his son on the lap and discuss the political stuffs. And this 2-3-year-old Rama will give amazing answers for all those things. Then it became a regular program. Dasharatha Maharaja consulting this 3-4-year-old boy before taking judgment. It became a day-to-day activity. And Vasishta and everybody knows about the intelligence of Ram. So right from that tender age, they all started talking, Rama should be the next crowned regent prince. But actually, Dasharatha Maharaja gave a promise to Kaikeya Raja, Kaikeyi's father, that your daughter's son will be the next king. Which means Bharata is supposed to be the king. But everyone, seeing Rama's beauty and intelligence and everything, they forgot Dasharatha Maharaja's promise. Even Kaikeyi Maharaj also forgot. Kaikeyi also forgot. Everybody internally decided that the next prince is Rama. Jai Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki.
Jai.
And it's so wonderful, when a new visitor comes to the Ramrajya, the kingdom of Ayodhya, they can't make out who is the mother of Ram. Because Ram used to treat everyone equally. Every personality equally. He used to see his stepmothers equally like attending to his mother. In fact, he will give more attention to the stepmothers than the mothers. Like afternoon, our friend Shashidran Prabhu was explaining his experience. After all, he and his brothers got married, how the scenario changed in the house. But Ramchandramurti was equally respecting every mother. And the amazing character is, he has never found fault in anyone's life. He never teased anybody. Mandara had hundreds of hunchback servants. Mandara herself is hunchback. And she had so many servants like that. Pardon?
Servants of the servant.
Yeah, servant of the servant. So they all are like kunis, hunchback. And sometimes Lakshman and Shatrughna used to play prank with them. Rama will go and chastise them. And he has never teased anybody in his life. We can compare our lives with all these personalities. Never, you know, never find fault, never teased. Did I explain that in last Bhagavatam, how Narada is telling that we shouldn't find fault? Did I explain that?
No.
Yeah? No? Okay, that's a small thing. Like one day, Krishna and Rukmini, they are sitting in the inner chambers of Dwarka Palace and they are playing dice. And suddenly in between the game, Krishna opened his eyes wide and said, Rukmini, you remember the olden days in Vidarbha, the day of you getting married to Shishupal? I came there in a chariot at a terrific speed and you are walking down from the temple after praying to Ambika. I just took you like that. Rukmini Devi started listening to all this and she became so happy. My Lord is remembering all the olden days. Her, you know, she became so happy and she was also saying, yeah, 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 like that. And Krishna is narrating and finally in between he said, it's very strange, you know. You are from such an orthodox, proper family. How can you run any like that? Krishna changed the whole plate. And you know, Rukmini started feeling, what is God saying now? How can you run away? That too with a person you have never met? And your parents have taken care of you for last 13 years? And you have completely insulted them, disappointed them? What amount of sin you will incur? That's all. Rukmini Devi started crying. All her garments are wet and you know, tears are flowing. Wrong time Narada came. When this conversation is going on, Narada Maharshi came and Krishna said, oh Narada Rishi, please come, you be the judge now. You tell me whatever Rukmini Devi has done is right or wrong. And Narada is in a big fix now, what to say? He can't support Krishna also, he can't support Rukmini Devi also. Then he took a shloka from Manusmriti and he said, only a husband has got the right to tease the wife. And in the whole creation, only Guru has got the right to find fault with the disciple. I am just a witness. Thank you, my Lord. Only spiritual master can find fault in a disciple's life. And husbands are given little license to tease their wives. If anybody does anything else apart from this, they will all incur sin. They will get sin. So Lord Ramachandra never teased or found fault with anybody. Such a perfect for personality. And everybody started liking him. And the days were passing. And Lord Ramachandra became 12-year-old young boy. One fine day, the great sage Vishwamitra came to Dasharatha Maharaja's palace. So seeing Vishwamitra entering his palace, Dasharatha Maharaj ran personality from his asana, received the sage, bathed his feet, did arati and everything, and fell at his feet and said, oh great Brahmana, what can I do for you? What do you please? Then Vishwamitra started speaking round about, because he's going to ask something very heavy. So he said, it's a duty of the king to satisfy a Brahmana or Rishi, even if the Rishi is claiming the king's wife, the king is supposed to give her off. And Dasharatha Maharaj said, yes, my lord, I know all this. I am ready to serve you at any cost. You just explain your wish. Then Vishwamitra answered, my desire is something very, very simple. But by granting that, you will be glorious. You know, he's keeping things, setting the things ready. And after a long conversation, he said, please send your sons, Ram and Lakshman, with me to the forest for just a few days. That's all. All the smiles from Dasharatha Maharaja's face disappeared. He turned pale. He started shivering. The, you know, his voice is getting choked, eyes are filled, he is not able to speak. So what are you asking them for? They are tender boys. Look at my son's feet. He can't hold, even in the rough floor he can't walk. He always sleeps in the silk bed. Thousands of servant maids attend to him. Not only that, I personally feed him in the morning and evening. Why are you asking them for? What can they do in the forest? They are not brahmacharis or rishis to help you in sacrifice. Then Vishwamitra said, no, it is not that serious. He has to kill some few asuras and rakshas. So simple it was. Yeah, and that's all. When he heard that, finished. Then he said, no, I will come. My entire army will come with you, my dear sage. I will be at your service. You just tell me how much our rakshasas and asuras, I will put my life in stake and I'll do that for you. Then Vishwamitra got a little angry. Then he said, are you going to send your sons with me? You don't trust me. I will take care of them more than you do. And by sending your children with me, they will acquire a lot of pious things. And when Vasishtha saw Vishwamitra is getting a little angry, and because Vishwamitra is capable of cursing anything, so Vasishtha ran in between and convinced or consoled Dashrath Maharaja, please leave your sons with them and don't worry. And when they heard Vishwamitra Maharishi is already asking these sons, somehow the news reached the boys. The boys were already ready. They are with bows and arrows. 12-year-old boys, you can imagine, bow and arrow and things like that. And they are already ready, just waiting for the call of Dashrath Maharaja. And so reluctantly Dashrath Maharaja said finally to the boys, please go with Rishi and do exactly what he says and never hurt him, even when you are, you know, at sleep or ignorance. There's a beautiful instruction given by Dashrath Maharaja. When we are progressing spiritually, you will get some challenges sent by devas. And those people will be little demanding to check our service mentality. Right? Suppose we want to serve all the Vaishnavas, every day we are praying to Krishna, Krishna, please give me a chance, I want to serve this devotee, this, that and all. Suddenly one terrific devotee will land in your house. He will be demanding so much, internally you will think when he will leave this house. So that is the moment we prove our service mentality. Like Kunti got Durvasa. Kunti was just an 8-year-old girl in Kunti Bhoja country and Durvasa came. And Kunti Bhoja had hundreds of wives and thousands of children, still he is not confident. Who will serve Durvasa? Because if you do slightest mistake, Durvasa will, you know, curse you. So he was wondering, whom should I send? Who will serve Durvasa? He himself not very sure that whether he can serve properly. Finally, he called the 8-year-old girl, Kunti, and told very seriously, this is your mission in life. This is your goal of life. Just to please this Rishi, that's it. You can achieve whatever you want. And Kunti took it to heart. She didn't sleep for one full year. And morning and night, 8-year-old girl attending Durvasa, cooking for him, washing his clothes and this and that. In those days, when the girls become 6-7 years old, they start learning cooking, that's what, all these things. Nowadays, they get married and learn from their husbands. So, 8-year-old girl, she was so expert. She 1 year continuously served Durvasa and Durvasa became so happy and grant the boon. You can invoke any deva and get a child from that deva. And Durvasa happily left her. She got that 4-line mantra. She didn't know what to do. So she looked at Surya and chanted the mantra. And Surya immediately appeared, you know, 1,000 suns, stage, brilliant man. Came on a horse with 5 horses and all. Kunti got completely scared. Said, sir, sorry, please go. I really didn't intend to invite you. Please go back. Then he said, no, my dear lady, you have invited me, so I'm supposed to give you a baby. She got completely scared. What to do? Then she said, is there any chance? Then Surya said, you won't go through the regular method what everybody goes through. You will get a baby boy through your ear. That's why he got the name Karna. And that happened in Himalayas. That's the way the place is called Karna Prayag. If you go to Badrinath, you have to cross Karna Prayag. That's where Ganga and Alakananda rivers join. In that confluence, she's standing with a baby boy and didn't know what to do. She just floated him off in the Ganga. So that place is called Karna Prayag. So it is very, very difficult sometimes to please the real devotees. Actually, if you find any tough guest, you simply think Krishna has sent him. Just it's a test for you, and you make him smile and send him off, and Krishna is happy with you. So sometimes we get tough devotees, and it's very hard to please them. They will come and ask Shashindran Prabhu, do you have internet connection? No. They're all set to curse him. So it is a challenge to please. So sometimes Krishna and Deva, that's why we say in the scriptures like Aditi Devo Bhava. Aditi means a man who comes without informing you. Titi means date and time. Somebody calls up and say, Ravi Prabhu, I'm coming at 4 o'clock, please pick me and this and that. We are ready. Suddenly he comes and knocks your door, you know, we will tell first, why don't you give a ring and come here? So Aditi means a man who comes without information, and if somebody comes at your doorstep, he's like Deva, Aditi Devo Bhava. So they had a tough challenge of pleasing Vishwamitra, the two young boys, Ram and Lakshman, and they were very careful not hurting him even by the slightest of the mistake. And they were serving Vishwamitra so nicely. On the other hand, Vishwamitra Maharshi was also very happy with the boys. He was treating them like his own children and telling them all sorts of things. They will ask, what is this country? And he will explain the full story of the country. And they will ask, why you became a sannyasi? And he will tell the whole story. And you know, nicely relating, and Ram and Lakshman was feeling so secure. And slowly they traveled through so many provinces, Kuru province, Anga, and Kushala, like the different countries they were traveling. And finally they came to the Tadaka's place. Tadaka is mother of Maricha. She's a demoness, and she's dark with red color hair and electrified eyes. The light will be coming out of her eyes, and all the teeth up to her neck, and every now and then the flesh and the blood will be dripping from her teeth. And she doesn't have a neck, the head is directly connected to the body. And she has got two long arms which are 12 kilometers long, and she had got a third arm in the belly to catch the prey which are very close by, and she is dwarf. Very beautiful she is. Simply looking at her, the sages used to die. She will come and stand in front of the yajna field and scream, people will simply die. That was the situation. And there was a fierce battle. I don't want to narrate the battle. Somehow, finally, Ramchandramurti and Lakshmana killed Tadaka. And Ramchandramurti, with a bow, with an arrow, sent Maricha 300 miles away from Tadaka's place. And Vishwamitra was so happy and gave them all sorts of weapons for Ram and Lakshman. And they got all celestial weapons. So Vishwamitra said, okay, now we are going back to your kingdom, but on the way we will cross Mithila. Mithila is the kingdom of Janaka Maharaja. Let us cross Mithila. And Lord Ramchandra asked, why we should cross Mithila? There are so many shortcuts to this thing. And said, you will love that place. It is so beautiful place. Said, okay, let us go to Mithila. And they reached in a particular time where Sita Devi Swayamvara was going on, and Sita Devi is just 8 year old. Ramchandramurti is 12 year old. So scriptures promote this balya vivaha. People get married in those days, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years, 10, 11 years, like that. Sita Devi is 8-year-old and she had got dark, big eyes, nicely extended. And Ramayana says she has got hairs up to her knees, very long. And she is so slender and so beautiful and tender, very selected voice, never hurt anybody, always smiling and pleasing people. At any disappointment, she will put up a beautiful smile, very respectful to the elders. She doesn't speak much to the elders, never argued in her life, always like a menial servant, pleasing all these people. So Janaka Maharaja got a special bow from Lord Shiva, gifted by Parashuram to him. And this bow will be normally kept in a huge hall. And when the cleaners want to clean the hall, they will call 300 bodybuilders to lift this and keep it the other side. So 300 of them will come. Sometimes they used to bring elephants also. They come and lift the bow and move it in a place and things like that. Then Parashurama gave that bow. That was the last time they string the thing. You know, the bow will have a wire on the back. That was the last time they stringed it. Because nobody could even lift the thing, then how to string it. So Janaka Maharaja said, if anybody wants to marry my daughter, they have to just string the bow. That's all. So the kings used to come. Big zamindars, the monarchs, the emperors and small kings, everybody, soldiers and military generals and brahmanas, so many people used to come with the desire of marrying Mother Sita. So they will all come and it seems it's beautifully described, they will all sit in the assembly and each one, like somebody's having muscles like butterflies, somebody's having muscle like elephant wings, sorry, butterfly wings and like elephants, all dark muscles with all, you know, marks of bows and arrows, and so much of people who can defeat 100 people in a single combat. There were kings who can lift elephants and throw away, and they have, you know, all sorts of people used to come. But none of them could even move the bow. And finally, they announced, now it's the turn of Ram, the son of Dasharatha Maharaja from Kosala province of Ayodhya. And Vishwamitra had a big smile on his face and Lakshmana knows it's all over, already done. And Janaka was so anxious, he wanted that this small boy should do that. And when they announced Ram's name, till that time, Sita was not at all bothered. So many people are coming, lifting the bow. No, nobody could do that. Then they announced the son of Ayodhya, sorry, Dasharatha from Ayodhya. She came running and enough from the different floor through a small parrot window. She's looking Ram for the first time. Then asking her friends, who is this handsome boy? What do you think, my dear Sakis, will he do this? Because she started desiring that this boy should do. And with wide opened eyes, and Valmiki is explaining, it looked like bumblebees and butterflies were coming out of her eyes. She was like, ting, 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 la, la, la. And everybody is so happy, and Sita Devi is looking, and Ramchandramurti prayed to Lord Shiva, and just like a kid taking a baby, small toy, he just lifted it and kept it straight. Not so easily he did that. When he lifted the bow, there was a breeze. Because of that wind, soldiers who were standing on the top floor fell down on the earth. Like you take something, there is a breeze. Right? Like this. So Ramchandramurti took the bow and there was a wind. Because of the wind, soldiers fell from the first floor. You can imagine how huge it was. Then he pulled the string and he bent the bow, and with a tumultuous, like a thunderous voice, the whole thing broke down. And they were all waiting, Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Agni, Gandharva, Kinnara, Kimpurusha. They were all showering flowers. Janaka Maharaj became so happy And she brought Sita Devi and gave the hands of Lord Ramchandra. So the marriage was fixed. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Govala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya By marrying Sita Devi, the Balakanda is over. Now we go to the Ayodhya Kanda. So, after so many things happened, they actually fixed the marriage, then they informed Dasharatha Maharaja. And Dasharatha Maharaja was so happy. He came with the huge gifts and brahmanas and everything. And the marriage went on for 3 months. Like it's a huge marriage. There were houses erected for brahmanas, house palaces built for the kings and princes, and all whole city was built just for the wedding. And Vasishtha suddenly said an idea that why conduct marriage for only one boy? Let us do that for all the boys. So immediately they brought Sita Devi's sister Urmila, and Lakshmana married her. She was 1 year younger to Sita Devi. Then Janaka Maharaja's younger brother had got 2 baby girls, and they were given in marriage to Bharata and Shatrughna. It was a pompous marriage. Everybody was there eating nice prasadam and enjoying, and it went on for 3 months. One day, one celebration. Big marriage. Anyway, that's a lot of description, but anyway. Then we go to the very important point of Kaikeyi and her association with mantra. Something very, very important. Actually, when by the time Kaikeyi's father called up, said to Bharata and Shatrughna, please come and stay with me for some time. So at that moment, Bharata and Shatrughna were in Kaikeyi Rajya, not in Ayodhya. And that's the time Dasharatha Maharaja decided to conduct the coronation of Lord Ramchandra. Somehow he missed to inform Bharata. He forgot to inform Bharata. So mantra caught that point. So these fault finders, they will always look for something. Always look for something. Like you keep a, there is a beautiful explanation in Upanishad. You keep a pot half filled with water. A positive man will always say there is water. And negative guys will always say half pot is empty. They will see only the empty side. There was a Christian priest. He went to different villages to speak about against alcoholism. People were drinking so much. So he wanted to correct these people, this priest. So he went to different villages and said, please don't drink, please don't drink, please don't drink. Nobody was listening to that. Finally, he took 2 glasses, 1 glass filled with pure water, another glass filled with alcohol. Then he put a few worms inside the water and few worms inside the alcohol. And the worms inside the water were swimming happily. And the worms inside the alcohol all drowned. Then he showed the glass to all the drunkards and say, what do you understand by this? And they said, very nice, if you drink, all the worms in the stomach will die. Right? So some people will see only the negative side. They can never see the positive side. So Mantara was looking for a fault, and she found a small reason that Dasharatha Maharaja is conducting the coronation when Bharata is not there. Actually, then he went up with the stick, dragging her 1 foot and twisting her eyebrows, developing, cultivating, making, creating some cunning thoughts, and she was going to the Kaikeyi's inner chambers. And Kaikeyi is also a very beautiful queen. And she was doing dressing up, and she was doing all sorts of things, lying on the couch, and she's enjoying the opulence. And she went and told, you know, my dear queen, you are like a pearl inside that, this thing, you get that pearl shell, no? You are like a pearl inside the shell. As long as people don't discover you, nobody will understand your glories. Please open up the shell and come. And Kaikeyi is wondering what happened to Mantara. Morning, she is speaking all sorts of strange things. Okay, my dear Mantara, she loves Mantara so much. It was very compassionate. My dear Mantara, what news you have brought? From your few beautiful words, I can understand something very sweet is going to come. And she said, yes, my dear queen, it is very sweet. Tomorrow, Ram is getting coronated. And spontaneously she removed the most precious diamond necklace, pearl and diamond, just threw it at Mantra's face and said, take it. You have brought the wonderful news today morning. My life is blessed. I am so happy. You see, that was the first response of Kaikeyi. Then how she turned. So that's why association is very, very important. You should know with whom you are associating. Who is your friend? Who is your relative? Who is your... Association is very, very important. So scripture speaks about 3 kinds of association. And the first one is like association of Narakasura and Banasura. You know Narakasura?
Yes.
Yeah. Who is Narakasura's father?
Vishnu.
Varahamurti. So Narakasura is son of the Supreme Lord. Can you imagine? He turned into an asura. So he was a nice boy. He was a very wonderful personality, very sattvic man. But his friend is Banasura. Because he got friendship with Banasura, even though he is son of the Supreme Lord, he also turned into an asura. So association is very, very important. We may be from a very great heritage. We may be from a cultural family. We may be from a very good thing, everything. But we associate with a wrong person. That's it. Everything is gone. Narakasura was son of the Supreme Lord. Because he associated with Banasura, he turned into an asura. Right? And the second example given in the Shastra is the Bharata Maharaja and the deer. You know, the deer. Bharata Maharaja was sitting on the river bank and he is doing Ashtanga Yoga, and he has reached Sadhana, Raganuga, different levels, and he has come up to the Bhava stage of spirituality, and just one stage is left in Prema for Krishna. He has come to the 8th stage. Only one is left. From Bhava he has to come to Prema. Should we put down, Prabhu? They say? Got cold, huh? Okay. So, just one stage left. That's all. Very close to Prema. Then, he saw a pregnant deer coming and drinking water from the river when he was meditating. Was there anything wrong?
No.
And the deer was drinking water. Was there anything wrong?
No.
And suddenly the deer heard a ferocious roar of a lion from the thick jungle. The deer got scared and jumped inside the water. Was there anything wrong?
No.
Nothing wrong. when the deer jumped herself, threw herself in the water, she delivered a very nice, cute baby deer. Was it wrong? No. Then Bharata Maharaja saw the baby deer is getting washed off in the water. It's floating. It's going in the heavy current. So immediately got up from his place and took the deer out of the water and put it on the bank. Was that wrong?
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes.
No.
Okay. Then the baby didn't open her eyes. She's just lying next to Bharata Maharaj. After a few hours, she opened her eyes and she saw Bharata Maharaj. Then, automatically, she started licking him all over, you know, licking. And he just patted. Then, that was staying in one corner of the ashram. So when he is going for the forest to collect some wood and all for sacrifice, he will bring some few leaves also for the deer. Right? This was going on and on. And one day, during meditation, he opened his eyes and he saw the deer is missing. Right? And he looked for the deer. It's not there. Then he closed his eyes again, again tried to continue his meditation, but he couldn't continue. Mind was going around the deer. Where is the deer? Where is the deer? Some wild animals would have eaten that. You know, thinking. Then he went in search of the deer. On the way, he died and took birth as a deer. So this is a different association. Narakasura's association is from the beginning, it is a wrong association. We can easily make out it's a negative association. But Bharata Maharaja's association is a negative association, came in the form of a nice sattvic thing. This will happen for devotees. Sometimes our Maya will come with a Kantimala and Tilak. We can't make out. So, devotees have to be very careful. We should always stick on to the scriptures, Guru, Vaishnavas and things like that. So for us, Maya won't come in a negative form because we can easily make out. For us, it will come in a different form, right? And the third association is wonderful, beautifully explained by our Vaishnava Acharyas. Association given by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to his son-in-law Amogha. That's a very beautiful thing. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great... Am I boring you?
No.
Getting bored?
No.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a great pandit in Orissa. He was a royal priest of Pratapudra Maharaja. The whole city used to bow down. He's a great scholar and everything. And he turned to be, later on he became devotee of Lord Chaitanya. So one day he invited Lord Chaitanya for a feast in his house. Right? And Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his good wife and daughter, all three of them cooked a huge grand feast, you know. So many items, items which you can eat, items which you can lick, items which you can drink, items which you can swallow, different varieties of fruits. And the fruits, all the skin is taken and dipped in the honey and kept it like, you know, honey is dripping from the fruits. And the smell of the cooked item is almost in all, you know, it has completely captured the village. People are all like, you know, in those days when our elders cook, the whole house used to smell. Nowadays you don't get any smell out. Right? All, you know, hybrid items and contaminated. You don't get any smell. I am very sure in the olden days, even they make simple dals, the house will be filled with smell. You eat and you smell, you become very satisfied. Right? Now there is no smell. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife cooked a wonderful feast. And Lord Chaitanya is ready to honor the feast after finishing his Gayatri and everything. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to take prasadam. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is holding a stick and standing at the door because his son-in-law is a number one fault finder. Wherever he goes, he will find fault. Ray, you are putting green, huh? You are putting blue, huh? You are eating so much, huh? You are eating less, huh? Whatever you do, he will find a fault. So, he is so afraid of his son-in-law. He is standing at the doorstep with a stick And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is looking at Sarvapattacharya smilingly eating. So this Amogha, the son-in-law, is hanging, going around the house. He is not getting a chance to enter. When Sarvapattacharya went inside to serve Lord Chaitanya, he sneaked inside. He said, "Arey, what sannyasi you are, wearing saffron robes and eating 12 people's food?" All ISKCON devotees are like this. So scripture says, akanta bhojan, akanta bhajan. No, you should sing non-stop. Akanta bhajan. You should not stop your bhajan. Akanta bhojan. You should eat till your neck. If you bend down, it should come out. So initially, when we become devotees, Hare Krishna, they will give us so much prasadam. Once you become a devotee, don't eat so much, don't eat this, don't eat that. So, akanta bhajan, akanta bhojan. So, Amogha started criticizing Lord Chaitanya so much, but Lord Chaitanya is not taking anything to heart. He's smiling. And Sarvapattacharya is a very elderly man, took this thing. You know, this ladies used to have a huge stick to grind things and all. Yeah, he took that and started chasing his son-in-law. And his mother-in-law, means Sarvapattacharya's wife, is telling, "Let my daughter turn to be a widow. This fellow is, you know, offending Lord Chaitanya. Let my daughter be a widow. I'm not bothered." And this Amogha is screaming, "Lord Chaitanya is eating too much, he's eating and he's running." And Lord Chaitanya said to Sarvapattacharya, "Don't worry, he's like your son. Children will always do mistake, but don't worry." But Sarvapattacharya couldn't digest that. He fasted for the whole day. "I have invited such a great personality, the Supreme Lord, to my house, and I am about to serve him. My own son-in-law is criticizing. Let me fast for this offense." Both husband, wife, they are all fasting. Then Amogha went. And the next day morning, he got cholera. You know, that severe disease. And he was on bed. And the news spread. And the news reached Sarvabhum Bhattacharya. He said, "Thank you, my devas. My dear demigods, the great devas, and in charge of the 8 direction, Ashtadikpalakas and the Gandharvas, I am thanking you so much for giving this disease to my son-in-law." But somehow Lord Chaitanya got this news that Amogha is sick. Lord Chaitanya ran to this place and kept his lotus palm on his chest and said, "My dear Amogha, you are a great Brahmana. Krishna is supposed to stay in your heart. Don't be envious or jealous about anybody. If you are like that, Krishna will not stay in your heart. Please leave all that." And he was delivered, cured from the disease. Then Lord Chaitanya went to Sarvabhuma and gave prasadam and said, "Don't fast. Why are you fasting? Because of your association, Amogha will definitely get love of Godhead and he will go back to Krishna. Why are you fasting?" So scriptures explain about this association. Even though Amogha is such a sinful man, because he was just the son-in-law of Sarvapattacharya, he got delivered. So we can see different kinds of satsang here, association. Narakasura's example, then Bharat Maharaj and the deer, then. So even though Bharat Maharaj did good to the deer, still it turned as a curse, right? So sometimes we will be thinking, "I'm doing this good and that good and this good. I'm planting trees, I'm cutting trees, I'm putting the road, digging well." But if you don't keep Krishna in the center, everything will turn ulta. You do all this good social activities, but put Krishna in the center. If you don't do this, the social activities or the whatever humanitarian activities will fetch a bad result. Somebody will come and say, "Please give me, I'm hungry, I don't have money." You give 100 bucks, he will go and drink. Or he will use it and you will go back and ask him, "Please give me my money back." He will turn to your enemy. He will become your enemy. Right? Do you have that experience?
Yes.
You have helped somebody sincerely and they became your enemy. How many of you have got that experience? Wow. So many. See, we have done something good, but we got bad. So even though social activities, humanitarian activities, good things, you keep Krishna in the center, then you do. Otherwise, it will all become ulta. So, at any cost, we should always associate with the devotees who chant Krishna's name sincerely. That's something very, very important. So, by the association of mantra, Kaikeyi turned very jealous, envious, and selfish. So, immediately, she wore a black dress, a black veil, covering her face. And she scattered all her garlands and flower malas and everything. She scattered all her ornaments. And with there is a sulcan, there is a chamber whenever the ladies are in their dates and, you know, cycles they go. In those times in the palaces and all things are like that. She went inside that chamber and she had threw herself on the ground and waiting for Dasharatha Maharaja to come. Then the whole thing happened and she asked that Ram should be banished to the forest for 14 years and Bharata should be crowned as the prince. Hearing that, Dasharatha Maharaja was faint, almost dead he is. He will fall at her feet, he will plead, he will beg, he will say, I will go to forest for 14 years if you wish. Please don't put my son. And finally he came to such an extent, he will say, okay, let Bharata be the prince, but don't send Ram to the forest. Please don't send. Then Kaikeyi said, no. If you want to follow this, you please do this. Then they will call Sumantra, the minister. Minister, Vasishta, everybody will curse Kaikeyi. But she will not be moved. So finally, Rama was summoned and Ram didn't know that this is what happening. So Ram came dressed up all ready for that puja to be crowned. He came in a chariot. Hundreds of brahmanas with that Purna Kumbha were chanting mantras and all over the streets people are wishing him good things and giving their blessings. Ram came in a chariot right in front of the Dasharatha Maharaja palace. All the ministers waiting for Ram, receiving him with sweet words, praising him, and the bards are singing about him. Beautiful things are going on. Only Dasharatha, Kaikeyi and Vasishta knows about the whole story. And Rama, anticipating that good news from Dasharatha Maharaja, went inside the palace. And the palace assembly hall was completely dark. Dasharatha Maharaja sitting on the simhasan with his head hung down. And Kaikeyi is standing and scratching her nails. So Ram was shocked to see his father. He ran to his father and asked, what happened, my dear father? You are the son of whole Raghu dynasty. Hey, great Raghava, Raghuvamsha Tilaka, what happened to you? I see as though the sun set. You did something wrong to the brahmanas. By mistake, you killed a cow. You said no to any charity. What happened? Who is the reason for your sadness? Please spell the name. I will get him by neck now. What is the reason for your moroseness? Kaikeyi is scratching her nails. She will say, it's all you, Ram. You are the reason. And he will turn to his mother and say, what are you saying, O great queen? How can I be the reason for my father's sadness? Just tell me, even in my sleep, if I have done something, I will atone for that. I will jump in river Sarayu and I will live my life for that. Then she will say, no need to jump in Sarayu. Just go to forest for 14 years. That is your father's wish. He is so upset, he didn't want to say that. That's all. My father wants me to go to forest for 14 years. Is that all? He will again fall at his father's feet and say, oh my dear father, why don't you say that? Why are you keeping away from me? How can I tolerate this? Okay, take it, count it. I'm already gone to the forest. He will run and tell Kaushalya. It took a long time for him to convince Kaushalya. Kaushalya didn't agree at all.
In fact, she will tell Lakshmana, put your father in jail and coronate Ram as the prince. Kaushalya will say that. Oh Lakshmana, arrest your father, he is very old now. He can't think properly. And Lakshmana is telling, if you say so, I will do that. He is already raised with the sword.
And Ram will look at Lakshman, give a tough look. Lakshman will keep quiet. Then he is going into the rooms of Sita, and Sita didn't know what's happening around. And she was so happy to receive Ram, because her husband is going to get coronated. He will bring Ram, put him on asan, wash his feet, and say, I'm really happy, my lord, and all this. Then Ram, with a grave voice, without looking at her face, he will say, my dear Sita, I am going to the forest. And Sita will tell, I will also accompany you. You want to get blessings from the rishis? Okay, I am also coming. He said, no, my father has banished me for 14 years in the forest. She couldn't digest. Actually, she is not worried. She is not worried about whether husband is the prince or whatever. She is all the time worried that husband is going to leave her. So she will say, that's okay, you can go to forest wherever you go, that's not a problem. Please take me also. But seeing her so tender and gentle and so this thing, Ram didn't have the courage to take Sita to the forest. He will use all sorts of scriptures to discourage her. And she will say, if you leave me, I will be just dead. Hearing that, Lakshman got encouraged. He will also say, I am also following you. So Ram couldn't say no to both of them. Said, okay, give away all your personal wealth into charity. Except a few ornaments, Sita happily went and gave everything in charity. All the three dressed up in sap tree bark. Okay? It's a tree bark. And Kaushalya is looking. Sita is struggling to wear the bark, wrap around the bark, because she has never seen that in her life. And all the maids, assistants of Sita, will come and say, let Kaikeyi go to hell. Why is these people doing this to the Sita Devi? She doesn't know what these things are. We hundreds of servants will come to the forest with you. The Brahmanas will say, oh Ram, we will follow you. The priests will say, Ram, we are coming with you. The citizens are screaming, let the whole Ayodhya go to forest. Kaikeyi ruled the dead for this thing, Ayodhya. Let her alone enjoy the facility. And Dasharatha will immediately tell Sumantra, take 300 bullock carts of gold, 500 chariots, send all the ministers, put all tradesmen in the forest, let them open shops in the forest. They shouldn't feel that is a forest. Kaikeyi got alarmed. She ran to Dasharatha, are you stupid? You are sending all the wealth with Ram? Then what Bharata will do in the kingdom? Then Dasharatha will jump out of his simhasana, about to beat Kaikeyi. Ram will say, my dear father, I will go. Once I am sent to forest, I will live like rishis in the forest. Please don't harm my mother. So affectionate. Then he will go. And when he is going, one Brahmana will rush and come to Ram, just to test him, and he will say, oh Ram, you are going to forest. I know I can't see you for the next 14 years. Please give something valuable in charity. Ram is not having anything. He's not having anything. He's just got that bark and pot and all the rishi's costumes. Then he removed that insignia of Raghuvamsha. All the sons had got a medal saying that they are princes of Raghuvamsha. He removed that and gave that to Brahman. Then he mounted on the chariot and they left. When Lakshmana is going to climb the chariot, Sumitra will come and hug her son Lakshman, and she will say a wonderful statement. She will say, Ramam Dasharatam Viddi Mam Viddi Janakatmaja Ayodhya Madhavim Viddi
Oh my dear son, don't see any difference between you, sorry, between your brother and your father. Ramam Dasharatham Vidhi. Rama is equal to Dasharatha. Respect Ram as you respect Dasharatha. Mam Vidhi Janakatmaja. Sita, for you Sita and me are same. You should see Sita as you see me. Ayodhyam Madavim Vidhi. See forest as you see Ayodhya. Serve your brother and Sita like you serve me and your father. And from that day, for the next 20 years, Lakshman had never seen Sita Devi at her face. He had always seen her feet only. So virtuous he is. And Lakshman, for the next 14 years in the forest, never blinked his eyes, never slept, nor he has eaten food. 14 years he was on the vow of fasting and no sleep. So scriptures glorify Lakshman, how great he was, right? And Sumantra is driving the chariot. Sumantra is driving the chariot. All the citizens are flocking on the streets of Ayodhya, screaming, "Oh Ram, don't go, don't go, don't go, take us all, take us all." And the elderly Brahmanas stopping their pujas and running behind the chariot. They couldn't keep up with the speed, so Lord Ramachandra got down from the chariot and they went to the forest, crossing Ganga. All the three paid their tribulations and offerings for Ganga, and they crossed and they went inside Radha's kingdom, and the king was called Guha. King's name is Guha. It's a Nishada race. It's a very nice thing. So Guha brought all opulent things, beds and gifts and things to eat. With all these things, there were few plates full of meat. You know, because these Nishada tribal people, they used to hunt animals and they used to eat animals. With so much of affection, he brought all these offerings with all opulent things, beds and beddings and everything. Between that, there were few plates of meat also. So Ram smilingly touched those plates and said, "I accept all this. But because I am in a forest, I am not to be treated like a king. So please give these things to the horses. I am not going to eat. I will simply drink Ganga water in honor of Ganga and I will sleep." So Guha was completely disturbed. "Why my lord is not taking?" He went to Lakshmana and said, "Cultured men should never eat animal flesh." Right? It's something very, very important instruction. And the full night, Guha and Lakshman were discussing the glories of Ram, and both of them didn't sleep. And the next day, Guha arranged a boat for them to cross the Ganga and go inside the thick jungle. So they were staying, they were sleeping on the grasses, eating the wild berries, dressing up themselves with the tree bark. And Sita was so happy. Every day she used to speak to the parrots, to the birds, eat the wild berries, they were singing songs. So happily all the three were enjoying in the forest. They lived in three different sections of forest. Raghupati Raghava Charam Patita Pavana Sita Jaya Ram Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram, Jaya Ram Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram,
Jaya Ram Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram,
Jaya Ram Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram,
Jaya Ram Shri Ram, Jaya Jaya Ram.
Yeah.
But he has got one. The first son of Krishna is through Kubja. Know the boy's name? I forgot. Very nice name. Okay. So, all Ram, Lakshman, Bharata, Shatrughna, all these people were competing in serving Sita and Ram. When they go to forest, Guha is ready to serve them. They went to Bharadwaj Maharshi's ashram. Maharshi is ready to serve them. The mantri Sumantra is ready to serve them. Everybody is competing among each other how best they can serve Ram. And when all these things are happening, Bharata is in Kaikeyi Rajya, and he is getting all, very bewildering and threatening dreams, very scary dreams he is getting. He is dreaming that his father is drinking hot oil, that his father is falling from a cliff. All sorts of dreams he is getting, and he is becoming restless. By the time Dasharatha Maharaja left his body in Ayodhya, so they immediately sent for Bharata, and Bharata came rushing. He had a huge army with him, but he was feeling so disturbed, he left his army in the middle and he rushed to Ayodhya, and he found out there is no more charm in Ayodhya. Houses are all dirty, houses are not cleaned, people are all in dark garments and walking, and the cows and the animals are all very sad. Trees are all bowed down. There is no flowers and fruits in the trees. No sunrise. Everybody is, he made out that something grave, very serious had happened. And he was suspecting maybe his father left this world. Then he went inside straight to Dasharatha Maharaja's palace, and the asan, the simhasan, was empty. And he ran to Kaikeyi. Seeing Bharata, Kaikeyi embraced him, blessed him, and asked how was her father, her brother, and everything. And finally explaining the whole thing, Bharata asked, where is my dear father? Where is my brother Ram? I am not seeing anyone. Please inform Ram that I have come. I want to meet him. Then Kaikeyi narrated the whole thing. Bharata was so angry, he just pushed her on the floor. What a devilish lady I've got as my mother. And cursed her, cursed Mantra. Shatrughna dragged Mantra and brought her in front of Bharata and wanted Bharata to chop her head. And Bharata said, don't do this, Ram will not like this. Because Ram will get hurt, I am not killing my mother. Otherwise, I would have personally cut and killed my mother and fed to all the wild animals. I hate her so much. I reject her. She is no more my mother. And they were so upset. They want to go to forest and get Ram back. Throughout the way, Bharadwaj Maharshi will ask, are you serious? You want to go and get Ram back, or you are intending to harm him? You want to kill him so that you can be an independent king? And Guha will ask the same question. Everybody will ask the same question. Kaushalya will ask the same question. Bharata will simply beat on his head and cry, why nobody is believing me? Simply because I took birth in the womb of Kaikeyi, everybody is mistaking me. What should I do to believe, make you believe? Immediately he will say, for the next 14 years, I will not wear any costly garments. I will wear tree bark. Then he made a vow. From that day, for the next 14 years, he stayed in a pit below ground level, ate a handful of barley soaked in cow urine, and stayed outside the kingdom. So these were the promises and the principles they were following. So when Guru says something, when the elder says something, they just take it to their life. Like the first son of Krishna, I forgot his name, he's Kubja's son. He went to Gurukul for studying. And every day he used to beg, come and eat. And the Guru said, you shouldn't eat without giving to Guru. So from that day he stopped baking. Then he used to drink milk from the udder of the cow. And Guru said, without Guru's permission, you should not drink milk also. From the third day, he was drinking rivers, water from the river. Guru said, without the sanction of Guru, you should not eat. So he stopped. He almost fainted. And finally, Ashwini Kumaras came and blessed him. So, taking up the instruction of Guru, living up to that, following the principles of elders and instruction, that's the whole purpose of life. Is to do that. Especially when we accept our spiritual master, we should simply live up to that. All the blessings will manifest. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru tasya katitahi artha prakashante mahatmana. Simply you follow Guru and Krishna, all the inner truths of the scriptures will manifest in your heart. We don't have to separately work for that. Yasya deve yatha yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. Simply follow Guru and Krishna, all the instructions will manifest. So that's the whole purpose. We can see here Lakshman, Bharata, Shatrughna, Sita Devi, Hanuman. Actually, day after tomorrow, the whole episode of Hanuman will come. It's Sundarakanda, the most beautiful part of Ramayana. You can see each one is competing just to please Sita and Ram. Something very, very important. So we should take all this instruction to the heart and we should try to live up to that. You know, simple things also we should try to do it perfectly. The devotion lies in the details of Krishna consciousness. A newcomer is also chanting Hare Krishna. A senior devotee is also chanting Hare Krishna. We cannot say both are equal. The devotion lies in the detail. So the gopis used to make wonderful offering for Krishna. The gopi will transfer it to a senior gopi. She will make little more ornation and things like that and present it to the next gopi. And that gopi will add some more things and it will be transferred and transferred and transferred. Finally it will reach Radharani and she will add something more and offer it to Krishna. So the details are very, very important. When we pay obeisances, there are details. When you take darshan of the deity, there are details. When you see a devotee, there are details. Even when we say Hare Krishna to somebody else, there is some detail. At every stage, you can capture Krishna in your heart. Convert our heart into Vrindavan by simply and sincerely chanting the holy name of Krishna. So these details are very, very important. Somehow by the mercy of Krishna, Krishna has supplied so many facilities, so much of facilities for us to progress. We have to simply utilize it. When we miss, then it's very difficult to get it back. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandu. Any questions?
Yeah. Why 14 years only this Burma
program? Why not 15 or 16? Maybe that's what Kaikeyi thought. There is no reason for 14. She thought when by the time Bharata can gain lot of confidence from people, because as soon as the news reached Bharata is going to be the prince, people were dead against. So she thought there should be some time so that she can gain confidence. And 14 years, as per astrology, is the time taken by moon or some planet to make this thing. And moon is the controller of mind, something like that. A person in this particular period of time can change the way of thinking or something. It's some kind of a scientific calculation. She felt that the citizens will develop love for Bharata by the time. Okay. Like they say, Jupiter takes 12 years, something like that is some calculation. 14 years enough for Bharata to gain confidence. Something like that. Anyway, we are not bothered much about that. The whole idea is people can gain confidence in Bharatam. That's the whole idea. Yeah, any other question? Yes, Prabhuji.
In terms of bodily features,
yeah,
the Lord Rama got the peculiar height.
Yes.
Beyond 15 feet.
No, they were all taller. It seems in Mahabharata it's explained Arjuna was 18 feet tall and Bhima was something like almost very close to Vindhya Parvata. So huge he was. So those time people were like, when you go back, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga, we live for maximum 100 years. We are supposed to live for 100 years. And when you go back, Dwapara, it's double. The maximum lifetime was 1,000 years. Treta Yuga, it was 10,000 years. And Satya Yuga, it's 1 lakh years. So the duration were more, the size of the people were more. Like you go to the old 1,000-year-old temples in Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, you can see the deities, you know, very huge and all. That means like in those days people were very huge. Even when I was studying in 10th standard, students used to have mush and things like that. But now I'm seeing 10th standard people, you can put them in a bag and carry. They're becoming small nowadays.
They can't carry their bags also.
They can't carry their bags also. So, Bhagavatam says, Prayena alpayusha sabhya kalavasmin yuge janaga manda sumanda matayo. Mandabad. People will become short, intelligence will go down. In previous ages, people were huge, size-wise. In Satya Yuga and all, they were very huge. Indra was standing on Nindya mountain and Vritrasura was standing down and they were fighting. You can imagine how big they were. So huge. Even Madhvacharya was very huge. He was 8 feet tall. And he was going with few disciples through the forest and a ferocious lion attacked him. He gave one slap to the lion and the lion fell dead. You can imagine the strength of Madhvacharya. Now, no, 4 days we have back pain this so weak, unhealthy, our food is not good, our atmosphere is polluted, all bad. Previous ages people were very huge. Yeah. Any other question? Yes, please.
Dasharatha had his daughter Shanta.
Yeah.
Who was her mother?
I have to refer back. I'm not very sure. I will, maybe tomorrow I'll let him. I'll refer back. It's there, but I'm not very sure.
Another question, Prabhuji. Why Lakshmana denied Urmila's request to follow him?
Yeah, Lakshmana, Urmila came and actually she started beating on her chest and saying that, you see, how Sita is following Ram. Why are you denying me? Please take me, please take me. And Lakshmana said, my whole mission is to serve Ram. If you are there with me, it won't be an addition, it will be a disturbance. He said, don't go. And the same time, Rama is not there, and I am also not there. Who will take care of Kaushalya? So be in that position as a servant to Kaushalya and Sumitra and attend to them.
But Bharata's wife is there.
Yeah. And he just made some argument and avoided her. Because anyway, if Urmila is there in the forest, Lakshmana cannot attend to Ram. So what is the
thing? Sri Ram also not interfered.
He didn't interfere.
Take her also. He can take.
He, Rama said to Lakshmana, it's up to you. It's up to you, he said. But Lakshman didn't want. We can have Rama and there are so many things.
If Rama might have told, Lakshmana cannot deny it. It is under his instruction.
Yeah.
You take it.
That's true, we can have a big debate on that. There are so many nice things like that. But Lakshmana didn't want. That's the whole thing. He didn't want, he knows that, maybe he thought like that would be obstacle in serving Ram. She has Urmila.
Sir, if Rama is an avatar, he should have known early that he has to do all these things.
But yeah, if Krishna wants, everything can be solved. But what happens, everything happens like when we get out of the building, on the left side you have a bakery or some nice restaurant, nice thing. On the right side you have a bar or everything.
right? And it's up to you, it's up to us whether we should turn left or right. The choice is always with us. So, Krishna likes when devotee go and surrender voluntarily. When we surrender voluntarily, there is a lot of madhura rasa. Otherwise, he can make everything mechanically, you know. Okay, everybody become turned into devotee, everything like that. But he needs like voluntary surrender. And Ramchandra Murthy came as a Purusha avatar, like Purushottama, as a human being. So he exactly acted as a human being. He didn't do any magic and all like. But whereas Krishna did so many things. He will do so many things. He will disappear, he will reappear, he will do this, he will do that, he will multiply and marry so many. He will do all sorts of things. But Ramachandra Murthy behaved exactly like a human being. That's it has got its own mellows in that. So we just follow.
And whenever I meet not a Hindu, some foreigner or somebody, they ask me who has read a lot of scriptures and all those things. They ask, you see, you have a lot of these rishis. All of them, when they are not satisfied even to a very small extent, they will start cursing. They say, oh, this and the other. Is it a good...
to get that? It's a very interesting question. Maybe for that, the two things, if a person conquers, he easily reaches the God's kingdom. One is lust and the second is anger. Kamayesha Krodha, these two things. And first all the rishis curtail their this thing, lust. And the second they try to put down the anger. But sometimes anger shown to others are also like there are sometimes destructive anger and constructive anger also. You keep on telling your son, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and if he's repeating, he's doing the same mistake again and again, sometimes he may have to show a little anger like that. You know, don't do this. So sometimes the anger is useful, but sometimes the anger is very destructive also. And the examples we see are all the rishis and yogis who are on the Ashtanga Marg mostly. Durvasa, Vishwamitra, they have not reached the ultimate thing. Whereas you see some Bhakta Rishis like Narada and things like that, you don't see Narada Rishi getting angry much. He is smilingly go to Kamsa also, he will go to Ravana also, he will go to Hiranyakashipu smilingly. So in the Rishis also, there are Ashtanga Yogis, there are Jnani Yogis, there are Bhakti Yogis. So the Bhakti Yogi is the Rishis who are following Bhakti Marga are considered to be on the top of this thing. They have easily came up with all these things. Whereas people who are on the Jnana Marga and Ashtanga Marga and different Margas, they are on the steps, they are on the ladder. They will take some more time to reach there. So when you take example from Bhakti Rishis, like there was Raja Rishi, Janaka Maharaja, then there were Deva Rishis, there were Brahma Rishis, different levels of Rishis. So if they are devoted and they easily come up. Whereas other people, they meditate on light and Omkar and impersonal form and try to find an answer. They take little more time to reach the perfection. That's why Bhagavad Gita says, Klesho adhikatarastesham avyaktasakta chetasam avyaktahi gatir dukkham. If you are meditating on the impersonal form of the Lord, sun means the light or Omkar or Pranava, it is the method, the process is little difficult. It takes time for them to reach perfection. So people who are getting angry for no reason and cursing, which clearly so shows they are not perfect. They are taking some more time. Whereas scripture says Narada Rishi and Janaka as an example have already reached perfection. So they are on the way, may take some more time like that.
Maybe we discussed about the size of the human in different yugas. if you see the olden temples, the entry, Dwara is so small. Even today, our
which
size...
temple? Yeah. Olden temples are huge.
Tamil Nadu.
Tamil Nadu temples are very huge.
Dwara is...
Sometimes you take darshan from the feet to head, it will take 2 days.
Not the deity, I'm saying. Entry, Dwara.
Dwara?
The sanctum, sanctum.
Okay, the entrance of the day temple. Maybe people should bend down and go. Maybe it is renovated, or maybe Vastu rules must be like that. Renovated, or maybe the construction rules, maybe we don't know.
Even the Alexander Great comes, he has to bend down and enter.
Alexander
has to.
Even. Yeah, so nobody has to bend down. Maybe different.
Forced Vastu. Humility.
Pardon, bro? Forced humility. Okay. That's what Namaskara means, Nahi Mama Hankar. Namaste means Nahi Mamate, that's what it says.
Two questions actually. One, there is a meaning to Muni, God. Is there a meaning to Rishi also?
Yeah. Muni is a student actually.
Yes.
Rishi means a Muni who has understood, realized something and he is propounding a theory. Maybe it is wrong, maybe it is right. But whoever has formulated a theory is a Rishi. Means finished Muni stage and he has got an answer. We may not know, maybe the answer is right, maybe the answer is wrong. Like Vyasa Maharshi had 6 students. Gautama, Kanada, Kapila, Ashtavakra, Jaimini, Patanjali. So he gave Brahma Sutra to 6 of them and asked them to find answer. Patanjali went to one direction and came back and said sadhana is the ultimate answer. And he made Yoga Sutra. You know, then Kapila wrote Shankhya Yoga, numbers, 24 elements are answer, like that. Different people came with different answers. They are all rishis. But we don't know whether the answer is right or wrong. So after taking the 6 answers, Vyasa Maharshi wrote an answer, and that is Uttara Mimamsa. And commentary for Uttara Mimamsa is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, rishi is a person who has done a lot of meditation, research, tapasya, and came with an answer. But we are not very sure. Maybe the answer is right, maybe it's not.
Prabhupada, where meaning of Rishi and Muni? What?
Yeah, Muni is a student.
No, meaning Muni means
manana. Person who is meditating is a Muni. And Rishi is a man, that's a Sanskrit term for answer. I forgot that word. There is a word for answer. Rishi. From that, Rishi came.
Rishi Keshan means control of senses.
No, that is completely different.
Rishi means then senses or something.
No, no.
Rishi Kesh.
That is a different thing.
It is not
Rishi. But that is H. Yeah, that is H.
Rishi
Keshan.
The same. It is the same in Sanskrit. Rishi and Rishi Kesh. The starting word is same.
Same, huh? Okay. But here.
Rishika.
Yeah. Rishika is a person who controls. This is some man
should have some meaning. Senses.
Okay, maybe there is, if you split it, maybe you should ask some Sanskrit pandit. There can be an answer.
This is what Munish do actually.
So the Rishi means a man, the term is like got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe there is something we can get some from pandits or something. Any other question? Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
So regarding this Rishi Sanghya's story, which you narrated very nicely, now the question is that Rishi Sanghya actually performed yajna.
Yeah.
He was already, trapped in one sense. Means he already, because the condition was that he should not, had any experience like that. But by the time he entered and put his feet in Kaushal,
it started playing.
So before that only he was already trapped.
He was allured, but still he had the credit of so many years penance. So they considered that as thing, like he had already been there for 20, 25 years and that credit actually fetched him the result. Out of all available, he was the best. And he had the credit of so many years. But he was bewildered by them, but he didn't had any... Like he used to see them, get attracted to them, like their company and all. But after Yajna only he got married to Shanti. So he was allured and bewildered, but still he had the credit.
The film says that Shanda is an inauspicious child, that is why
Nityananda
gifted.
Still him is a masala. We cannot take it. It's a masala film. We shouldn't take that as authority.
But it is a good artwork.
Good artwork? Bharata
did very nicely.
Which Bharata?
Director Bharata.
Oh, director. I was wondering how Bharata gave that.
It is not in his
work. It's a good joke, actually.
We know some leader of Krishna, when he was small, he broke yoga and stole butter. What did Rama do?
Bali Leela is very less, actually. Not that is the difference between Rama and Krishna. Krishna had a flute. He had three bend. He is not allowed, and he has got full-fledged Bali Leela. That is where Krishna is different from all the avatar. Matsya Kurma Varaha or what do you say? Yuga, not Yuga Avatar. Leela Avatar something. Then that it goes, and Purna Avatar is Narsimha and Rama. Narsimha, Rama, and one more is Purna Avatar. And Krishna is Paripurna Tamam. Is complete and uttama, is the topmost, because no other avatars have got full rasa like Krishna. Krishna got Bala Leela, which none of the other avatars have. But nowadays in India they are drawing Bala Shiva and Bala Ganapati and making stories. But only Krishna had this full-fledged Bala avatar, Bala Leela. That is one difference. Then the three bend, Shyamam Tribanga Lalitam. That's a very special beauty, it seems. The three bend. Once when Krishna entered Nanda Maharaja's palace, he saw a black marble pillar in that a beautiful boy standing with three bend. And he was wondering and screaming, calling, Balram, Balram, I never seen this beautiful boy. Who is this? Who is this? Who is this? It's his own reflection. He's seeing his own reflection and admiring the beauty. So beautiful. And that flute, very special. You see all the other avatars and everything, got weapons and the sword and this and that. He's got style flute, very special. And there are three kinds of that also. Vamshi, Venu, Murli, all variety. One is seven holes, one is longer, one is short for different purpose. Some has got some head in the front, something hanging. And Venu Madhurya, the gopis used to simply get envious of the flute, thinking that it is always kissed by Krishna. How fortunate the flute is, they will hide the flute every now and then. They will take and keep it here and there, here and there, here and there. One day, Krishna crawled the window and went inside Radharani's chamber, house. And they were speaking, enjoying. Lalita came and stole the flute and kept it under the bed. Krishna forgot the flute and left. So immediately Radharani's mother-in-law heard the noise of some boy speaking. She banged the door and came inside and found the flute. Then asked Lalita, who came here? Tell me now, who came? Then Lalita didn't know what to answer. Nobody came. Then how come the flute entered here? Then Lalita spontaneously, it rained, flute rained. There was a rain of flutes. What? Rain of flutes? How can there will be rain? No, flute rains. Then she was trying, working very hard to prove that. Then at that time, flute rain. There was a rain of flutes. So, very special it is. Krishna's pastime, it's Paripurna Tamam. It's complete rasa. No other avatars have got Bala Leela, except we human beings.
Prabhu, one of the pastimes in Ram Leela, that while crossing Ganga, some devotee, some boatman was there. Don't know that pastime.
Kaivat.
That
is not Bala
Leela. No, I'm not
reading
Bala Leela.
What is that? Boatman, what he did?
No, but I think this Kevat pastime is not there in Valmiki Ramayana.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that is what yesterday we discussed.
Maybe it's somewhere.
It's a Maharaja told him.
You want to share? You can tell.
No.
Okay. Any other question? So, day after tomorrow we have the Sundara Kanda, it's very special, and we have all the whole glories of Hanuman on that day. Tomorrow we have more of Ayodhya Kanda, Sanata, Aranya Kanda, and things like that, description of Kishkirtan. And the last day we have Sri Ram Pattabhishekam, which we, as per the tradition, we are supposed to do an arati and offer and things like that. So,
that is on Wednesday.
The last day, Pattabhishekam, yeah. So maybe we have feast. Okay, thank you very much. Prabhupada.